You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Gonna buy me a long white robe, yes, Lord, to help me home. I'm gonna buy me a long white robe, yes, Lord, to get me home. And when I get my heavenly gown and I lay my burden down, I'm gonna get me a long white robe to get me home. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the FM Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan coming to us from Saco, Maine, Neil Cody. Neil, thanks for being on the show with me today.
Mike, it's a pleasure. I've been listening to your other podcasts, and in fact, I think I listened to six of them yesterday, and I probably would have listened to more of them, but there was a PBS special on amphetamines in the military that I just had to watch, so...
Well, I'm glad that if I had to get trumped, it was going to be by something like that. So how did you first get into Gordon's music?
Well, like a lot of Americans, I was in, you know, if you could read my mind, and that came out when I was in the eighth grade, only it seemed to represent a disconnect between me and older people as for such topics as length of hair.
And sure. You
know, and it's funny. As a student, I oftentimes had trouble finding a theme in poems and short stories, but I could grasp the meaning of songs, and a lot of very profound songs came out around that time. I mean, there was Neil Diamond who wrote Shiloh, When I Was Young, I Used to Call Your Name, When No One Else Would Come, Shiloh, You Always Came, Come Today. The Kinks sang Eight Man, and that appealed to me. And this rather obscure group called the Mike Curb Congregation came out with a song called Burning Bridges that was in that great movie, Kelly's Heroes, all the burning bridges that are falling after me. And those songs really seemed to resonate with me, as did one by a man named, I think his name was Keith Barber, Echo Park, about an old lonely man. And that reminded me of my grandfather, who also lost his son. I mean, poignant lyrics put to music did have a hold on me, and no one did it better than Gordon Lightfoot. And that especially came true a few years later when I was in high school and had my heart broken multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know the feeling. I think a lot of us had to go through that. But yeah, I mean, as you said, he's kind of been this part of the soundtrack to our lives, and you picked up on him as a child, as did I. So it's a great way to have lived, to have been able to reflect on this song really hit me at this point in my life, and this song was impactful in another circumstance. Did you ever get a chance to see Lightfoot in concert?
13 times between,
oh, yeah,
between 1987 in New Hampshire and 2017 in Portland, Maine, where I reviewed the show and chatted with him afterward. He was very gracious. The two or three most memorable shows, one of them was at Massey Hall in Toronto in November 1988. And that was like seeing the Pope at the Vatican.
Good analogy.
And I also like the fact that Pee Wee Charles was still playing pedal steel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the second and the last time that I saw Gordon with Pee Wee in the band. I will say, though, that around this time, the East of Midnight album was still being promoted, and that was not my favorite album. The adult contemporary and the overproduction, it just seemed to get away from what Gord did best. And then 2 years later, when I saw him in Tampa, Florida, with one of my multiple exes, that was a great show, and, you know, my lady at the time was in a red skirt and a white blouse, and remember having my arm around her during Railroad Trilogy, and it was a great show. But then I think it was the summer of 2010 when I went to a show in Binghamton, New York. And what made that show so memorable was afterwards, some friends and I were in the Holiday Inn Tavern, and I recognized Barry Keane and Terry Clemens come into the bar. I had met Barry a few years earlier, very nice man. And as a struggling guitarist, I wanted to meet Terry. So I went up to Terry and I just said, "Terry, I'd just like to say hello to you. I've really admired your work for so long." And he was like my best friend. He was, Terry was like that. I mean, he was very, very gracious. And then he comes up to the bar, sits down with my friends and I, buys us all around. And, you know, then we're talking about the band and Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones and Kathy Evelyn Smith, who he said, "She is not an evil woman. She had some problems, as we all did. Let's not be judgmental about her." And then when Rick Haynes and Mike Heffernan came into the bar, Terry invites us over to that table and he introduces us as his friends. And that was just so gracious of him. And so there were about four or five of my friends, along with Terry, Rick, and Mike. We closed the place down and a lot of off-the-record conversations. Rick Haynes can be an ornery old bastard, but a very amusing one. And he had a particular charm. Mike was gracious, too. Terry was the most fun. It was just a very memorable evening. I was saddened a couple years later when he passed away, and his alcoholism at that point was alluded to, and including by Gordon, in an obit that ran in one of the Toronto newspapers. And Nick Jennings did describe it in his biography that came out a few years ago. A very good biography, very well balanced.
Yeah, I happen to have a copy of it right here, and I use it as a desk reference for all things Lightfoot. And oddly enough, I'm going to be making reference to that book in a second or two, but it does sound like you were pretty much welcomed into the fraternity of Lightfoot so instantly. And I think that says a lot about your approachability and also about the way that the band members carried themselves. I would love to have been there, you know, tagging along saying, "Hey, me too, me too." So you're very lucky in that regard. So we wanted to talk about Rich Man's Spiritual, which is the first song that most of the world heard by Gordon Lightfoot, because it was the very first track on his very first record, recorded sometime between 64 and 66. Why did you want to talk about it in particular today? I have my own reasons for liking it, but I'd like to hear yours.
Well, I'm at the stage of my life where the afterlife is a concern. I was raised a Christian, although I probably know Lightfoot's work better than I know scripture. I know the story of the rich man who did not share what he had with the poor man, and the rich man goes to hell, and he is begging Abraham to intervene by telling the poor man, "Dip your finger into water, it'll cool my tongue." And yeah, Abraham is saying, "Pal, you're out of luck. You had your chances to make good, but it's too late now." In our earlier correspondence, you informed me of another parable involving a rich man, which I really wasn't aware of, the one where Jesus tells the rich man, "Sell what you have now," which actually Woody Guthrie had a song about that too. I learned something new every day, because that song where Woody Guthrie sang, "They laid poor Jesus in his grave," it mentions what Jesus had told to that rich man. There's also a bit of a similarity between Rich Man's Spiritual and Stairway to Heaven. There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. Well, she might be a rich woman, but like that rich man, that's not enough. And that also brings to mind another one of my favorite singer-songwriters, who was the late Mississippi John Hurt.
Yeah, good one.
Of all the singers who had interpreted You Gotta Walk That Lonesome Valley, I think Mississippi John Hurt did the best version of it. And that lyric, you gotta walk that lonesome valley, you gotta walk it by yourself, ain't no one's gonna walk it for you. Maybe Gordon was channeling his inner Mississippi John Hurt, as almost everyone did, in writing about a more naive man saying, you know, I'm going to wear these golden slippers, I'm going to buy a pair of wings, I'm going to have this angel lobbying for my cause. Well, when you're walking the valley of the shadow of death, I mean, you are walking it alone, as Mississippi John Hurt and the Carter family and others reminded. And I think that's what Gordon is reminding too, even though he's taking the perspective of a naive man, which he might have also done decades later in another obscure song called Forgive Me, Lord, That I Have Sinned, and I Have Sinned Again. It kind of reminds me of a song by Iris DeMent. I want to do right, but I don't want to do right now. Let me enjoy my hedonism a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a universal conflict. Yeah. The spiritual aspect of it is kind of conducive to what I wanted to say. There is a message to it, but it's not an overly heavy message. You don't feel depressed by listening to this song, but you are struck by the naivete of this guy, that if he has just had a contact with Christ, as it does in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, where he's told, sell all you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. I got to think about it. This is the next day, and the rich young ruler is saying, well, I'm going to get to heaven, and this is the way I'm going to do it. And of course, it's the complete opposite of what Jesus had told him to do. Now, you mentioned some parallels with the Led Zeppelin song, with the Mississippi John Hurt song. Do you have any personal anecdotes about when the song really hit home and you thought, okay, this is narrating Neil's life right now? Or have you ever been lucky enough to think that you could buy all those possessions?
Well, I found out about the song when I bought this compilation CD, which probably was about 20, 25 years ago. I had never heard the song before, but upon hearing it, I was thinking, this is every bit as profound as Blowing in the Wind, or Where Have All the Flowers Gone, or all those timeless odes of the 60s by Bob Dylan, or Dave Van Ronk, or Tom Paxton, or Joan Baez. And only this song did not get the widespread recognition. It should have. And I was surprised when I was looking at YouTube today, there's video of Lightfoot singing that song while accompanied by others, although not its own band. And there are a couple other recordings, which I hadn't been aware of, and including one by the great Ronnie Hawkins.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that. And there was one other cover that I found, but you're right. I mean, this is probably an unfairly obscure song from an album that didn't get a whole lot of airplay, although obviously it was his freshman effort, so he was learning as he went. As it says, he caught on gradually. Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.